Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, put your tiny transistor radios away. Sit up straight in your Jason recliner. You've never heard the footy like this.
I'm saying hallelujah.
This is Triple M NRL.
And it's lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, all wandering towards that game this afternoon, the Raiders taking on the Warriors. We'll get there. Sterlo will also join us to preview that and some of the other games in the round. He'll also touch on the controversies and the big stories that have come out of the first couple of days of round three in 2018. Obviously, the biggest story was the re-emergence of the thylacine. The Tasmanian tiger thought extinct. Yes, the penalty in Golden Point. It was a winner for the Broncos, 9-7 over the Tigers. I think the first time in Broncos history that they've won a game without scoring a try.
Is that right?
I think that would be the case. Just some news before we get to hoops and what the Fox says. The referee's boss, Bernie Sutton, he's admitted West Tigers were wrongly penalised. So he's called it during that Golden Point thriller. He told the Sunday Telegraph, I'm just reading the statement now, that Tigers back rower Robbie Rockow shouldn't have been penalised, gifting, of course, the Broncos that easy penalty at Campbelltown. Ultimately, Sutton said the penalty is incorrect. He said the way Broncos forward Joe Offa-Hangawe had played the ball contributed to Rockow being ruled to not have stood square by referee Ashley Klein. He said the couple of factors obviously that contributed, his play the ball on a slight angle, partly caused by Rocco. Okay, so there you go. There is the news of the day, that Bernie Sutton has admitted that that penalty should not have been given. Doesn't help, obviously, the Tigers fans this afternoon as they cope with that loss. Right now, though, it's time for this. What does the Fox say?
Well, this has been looming large all season, Tone, and finally I think we're going to get some closure on it next week. It's the Manly Seagulls and the ongoing salary cap investigation. Okay. So there's talk that next week Todd Greenberg will hand down anywhere between a fine of $500,000, possibly as high as $1 million to the Seagulls for these breaches over the last few seasons. I think we're also going to see a couple of officials that were involved and at the coalface allegedly. I think that we'll see them have their credentials suspended for a period of time. So, yeah, that's going to make a lot of headlines over the start of next week, I think, Tone.
Not talking any competition points?
No, I don't think we're going to see them lose points a la like the Parramatta Reels a couple of years back. I think they've, according to the NRL investigation and the way that they have looked at all of the evidence they've gathered, they've decided that a fine is a fair punishment and that Manly don't need to have any points subtracted. But I think you might find that potentially in terms of their salary cap this year, whatever amount they are fined, that may then be deducted from their cap. So at the moment, their salary cap's $9.3 million. If they're ruled to have spent $500,000 over the salary cap over the last few years, then they might make their salary cap $8.8 this year. So that means they can't sign another player.
Okay. They'll be glad to get that out of the way, though.
Yeah, man. I think so. It's been frustrating for everybody. But, yeah, most definitely from a Seagulls point of view. I know, speaking to their coach, Trent Barrett, over the last course of the last month, it has been hard for him because he hasn't been able to – he'd love to go and see what he can do in relation to recruiting players, but he's essentially got one arm behind his back at the moment.
Yep.
Also, we talked about the injury to Nathan Cleary earlier. Real shame for the Panthers. But another injury that was revealed during the week is young Dallin Watu. He's a Lesniak. So he's got a little hairline crack in his jaw, but I thought this was interesting. He could be back as soon as round five. So he's a hell of a tough bloke.
Because he did in the first round, didn't he? He played that game, then came back and played round two.
He played with it. He played a full game with it. Then he realised there might have been something a little bit awry. Went and had the scans done. He's now got a plate in that jaw. I saw him interviewed on Fox League by Megan Barnard last night. But yeah, he could be back round five, round six at the latest, which got me thinking, some of these blokes, Tone, they're just warriors the way that they're able to come back through
injury. I've missed shows with a paper cut. So, I just don't understand that mentality. The tough guys, or did you have anything that you played through?
I dislocated my sternum and playing the Broncos one day and had to finish the game with that one, which was a little bit tough.
I've dislocated sternum.
How long are you out for after that?
14 weeks.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was awful.
Awful.
What about you, Big Del? Any injuries that you played through?
Yeah, fractured eye socket. You know, my comeback game in 2009. So the Broncos, I think David Stagg, as I went to jam in to tackle him, his elbow came up and it just got me in the cheek and I felt it like it dropped a little bit. And at halftime, the doctor said, mate, yeah, you've fractured your eye socket. And so, yeah, went in there and got a plate and some... titanium stuff. Yeah, still.
There's so many examples, yeah. Kane, of yeah. tough blokes over the years. Sam Burgess has got those titanium plates from the 2014 grand final. Sean Kenny-Dowell had a hairline fracture in his jaw in the 2013 grand final, played on with it. John Sattler all those years ago, back in 1970, one of the best examples of all time. They really are warriors.
But that's twice, because even in Origin, it happened to me in Origin, Lockie on his hip when I went down, and the doc said to me, I know we're a little bit different footballers, and the doc said to me, he goes, mate, you fractured your eye socket. And he said, mate, if you go back out, could you lose your eyesight? And I said, look, I don't care. It's State of Origin. And I was marking McDougall at the time who, you know, he went pretty good against me in Origin. And I think there was one opportunity in the corner and I just threw myself at McDougall. And, yeah, but you just don't even think about that. It's just because you're out there in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, I think about that.
Yeah.
all the time. That's what I would think about.
Is that what you thought about when you were pulling out the two-tone denim this morning?
Is it going to hurt? Yeah. And it's hurt you.
Can I play on with it?
My big ticker has got me through. That's the thing.
It has.
I've turned up in double denim.
And you've played well.
Yeah, exactly. 1-3-3-5-3, and we can talk double denim anytime you like. All right, what else you got for us, Mr. Fox?
Look, finally, Tone, I think this was a sad note for the game earlier this week. We saw the Penrith Panthers fans called into question in terms of GI being subject to some of that abuse. So I think we'll see that fan is issued with a breach notice next week.
Any closer? Have they found the fan?
Yeah, I think they have, yes. I believe that they have. And so the person will be issued with a breach notice next week. They've got to write a reply, but I think it's safe to say they'll be spending a fair bit of time on the sidelines in terms of they won't be welcome back at a game for a fair while.
As they should. Did you mention, we talked earlier and even last week about the impact Russell Packer's had on the Tigers. He's looking fit.
Yeah, he is really fit. I actually went and interviewed him last week and he told me that his young son has autism, and so Russell being the type of deep thinking person that he is, he went and did a lot of research about that, and what he discovered was that if you tailored your diet, and specifically it's quite a health orientated diet, that could have quite a positive impact on kids who've got autism. So he went and tailored his son's diet and he jumped on board as well, and so now he's also undertaking exactly the same form of diet, and as a result you can see super fit, been one of the boys of the season so far for the West Tigers, real enforcer, and you can really see that his engine seems to have increased even further this year.
All right, Mr. Bromwich from Melbourne, we'll have a chat with him next as you listen to Saturday Triple M NRL. It was a grand final rematch Thursday evening to kick off round 3, and the Storm got the job done over the Cowboys, 30 points to 14. As a look at that tyre power scoreboard. In the thick of the action, Jesse Bromwich, he joins us right here, right now. Congratulations on the win, mate.
Hey, fellas, yeah, thank you very much.
How was the week after, obviously, the disappointment of round 2, Billy's 300th, and I know that the coach wasn't happy with the effort all round. How was training during the week?
Yeah, obviously bellyache was pretty filthy, but we're pretty filthy on ourselves after, you know, losing a massive milestone game for Bill, and it was also Kenny's 100th, and to put in a bit of an effort like that was pretty disappointing. So bellyache was obviously pretty tough on us during the week, and we trained really, really hard, but we had a short turnaround, which is perfect after a game like that. So yeah, it was all good.
Jess, looked like a pretty frustrating contest out there, obviously. A lot of excitement going into that one, the grand final replay, but neither side was really able to get into any sort of rhythm, the stop-start nature, especially of that first half. But did it feel like when there was some rhythm in the game, you guys sort of were the dominant side? That's how it looked.
Yeah, it was a bit frustrating. You know, there was a lot of drop ball and a lot of penalties as well. But I did feel like when we, you know, got into a bit of a grind, our team was getting over the top of them, so that was really, I guess, a really pleasing thing was when we got in the grind and we completed well and we kicked long, that our team was winning that grind.
Hey, Jesse, I want to ask you about one of your teammates who packs down in the scrum in the front row with you, Nelson Asofa-Solomona. First of all, is he the biggest bloke that you've ever played alongside? And secondly, do you think that he can really take the NRL by storm and become one of the best front rowers that we've seen for some time?
Yeah, he's definitely the biggest person I've trained with and all played against. So, you know, he's a huge human. He's only 21, so that's the crazy thing, you know. He's come such a long way in such a short period of time. And I just think, you know, if he keeps improving the way he is, he's just going to be, you know, a crazy front row. Probably, you know, could be one of the better ones that's pulled on a jumper. But it's a long way off that, and there's a lot of improvement still to go. But at the moment, he's doing some really great things for us. He's playing very consistent. He's in a good place off the field, so I'm very happy he's on our team.
Hey, Jesse, it's Del here, mate. I've been lucky enough to be in your dressing room a few times and see the camaraderie you guys have got. Mate, Cameron Munster, tell me, Cameron Munster on the field, he's so strong, he's got great energy, and in the change room, he's a bit of a larrikin, isn't he?
Yeah, but Money's obviously you know, a very talented footballer. Yeah, like you said, very strong, but off the field, he's a really good bloke. He's pretty funny, actually. He's always getting stuck in a Craig, which, you know, some people ain't brave enough to do that.
That's it.
And it's pretty good. Pretty good to watch, actually. Craig gets him sometimes as well, though.
Hey, but even last year, mate, it must have made you feel good winning that premiership with your brother. I saw you in the room with him and you guys had that photo. That was a proud moment for the family.
Yeah, that's absolute dream come true, you know. You grow up together playing backyard footy, all that stuff, you know. Never dreamed about winning a premiership together, and to be able to do that, you know, I've got two kids, he's got one, our parents are there, everyone was there, and to do that in front of everyone, man, just an absolute dream come true, eh? It's just unbelievable, and just I'm so grateful that we were able to do that.
Everyone's talking about the penalties, we already mentioned it, and we don't want to bang on about it, but just from a player's perspective, how hard is it to change those sort of habits? We're talking about, you know, leaving the line early and doing all the basics that you guys are now getting sort of pinged on, that really we knew that there was going to be some changes to the play the ball, and they're obviously now enforcing some different things that they haven't over the last couple of years. But how hard is it for you guys, and how much work do you do on changing the way that you guys play to make sure that that doesn't happen every week?
Yeah, it's obviously pretty tough, and like you said, we don't want to bang on about it, but I don't know, I guess we work all pre-season on things, and, you know, the refs maybe could, you know, give us a heads up before we start pre-season training so we could work on
that.
So
you guys didn't know about a lot of those different things before pre-season?
No, I didn't, but I'm not sure how, I don't know if the coaches knew or whatever, but, you know, it's something we can definitely fix. It's not too hard, I don't think, but... Yeah, I don't want to talk about that stuff, really.
Hey, Jesse, I do want to talk about is your wingers. Mate, I've seen some good wingers over the last 10, 15 years, but, mate, they're both quick, strong. But even the other night, Josh Adokar and Vunivalu, there was a stage there where I thought, mate, it's like two Ferraris going down, you know, racetrack. And when he threw that pass, geez, they looked good together, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Electrifying, really, too, you know. When I saw Sully go down the field, I thought it was... shutting the gate, especially when I see an arrow coming up the middle. But
Belzer say? He would have sprayed, because I think he double pumped that pass. If he passed it straight away, he's away. Did Belzer say anything to him?
We've got a couple of days off after the game. We're back in tomorrow doing reviews, but I dare say Belzer should be saying something to him, because I think if you give that to Fox early, he's just...
Oh, he's away.
Anyone in Australia, that fella.
Yeah, he's so good.
Just finally, Jesse, living and playing in Melbourne, as a Kiwi, obviously in New Zealand, rugby league very big, but you've got the All Blacks, the power and the might of that and in people's perceptions. And there in Melbourne on the other night, on Thursday night, you had the Tigers and Carlton playing next door with 80,000 people. Yeah, still a good crowd there. Do you enjoy where rugby league is at in that city?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I think Melbourne Storm Club's done a really good job of growing rugby league down here. We're obviously very proud of that, but I just love being around all the different sports as well. You know, I've got two kids, two young boys, and, you know, to be living in a place like Melbourne where sports mad city, yeah, it's just a great place to live. And like I said, the club's done a really good job at growing rugby league down here. We've got a very strong member base, and our club's very proud of that, so it's just awesome to be a part of, really.
Yeah, it's a smorgasbord of sport down there this weekend, Tony. Yep. Got the F1 on, the supercars is on. Outstanding. Hey, Jesse, just finally, a lot of headlines about the fact that the Kiwis are going to play the Poms over in Denver in the middle of the year in a test match. Will you be making yourself available for that? Or?
I'm not too sure what's going on with all that stuff at the moment. I haven't really fed into it, but, yeah, I'm going to be available to play for my country. if that happens again, mate, you know.
100%.
Stuffed up last year, and if I get the chance to play again, 100%, I'll be ready to play. But I'm just not too sure what's going on with that demo test, if it's confirmed or whatever. I think it's definitely on. Good footy for a club. Is it definitely on? Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and just on that, boys, too. Like, mate, Jesse's paid his price. You know, we'd like to see him back in the black jersey. And as he said, you know, he's right to go. So, no doubt he should be there. You copped your punishment, and you move on, mate. Go on, your buddy.
Yeah, appreciate that, mate. Thanks very much,
Jesse Bromwich. Lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on the win. We'll chat very soon.
Thanks, fellas. Cheers.
See you, buddy. Jesse Bromwich. So the Denver thing is definitely on that test match.
Did you say Denver?
Oh, sorry. Double Denver.
Yeah. No, it's definitely on. And why I was curious was because there'd been a little bit of talk that perhaps Jesse had decided he didn't want to play international footy anymore. So that's why I was curious about whether he would be on board or not. But look, I think he's one of the first front rowers picked for the Kiwis. If he's available, he's in tremendous form and he earns that jumper.
All right. Thanks so much to him. This is Saturday NRL on Triple M. We heard earlier about Nathan Cleary and that injury and concerns about how long he would be out. Now, according to Buzz, Phil Rothfield, he's tweeted that he will be gone. It's a grade 3 MCL for 10 weeks.
10 weeks. Wow. It's a grade 3. So that's is a grade 3 a rupture? I think it pretty much is.
And that's
So it's pretty much snapped his medial, because it's not a 10-week injury unless.
Yeah, that is a chunk of the season right there. Oh, that's your state of origin, all those things, which, you know, not jumping ahead. That is terrible news. And given that, I'll save my thought, because we're going to do this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
You know what? So I'm going to immediately throw Penrith on the stock market, because that news, Nathan Cleary out for 10 weeks, where does that put the Panthers as the next Panther?
Yeah, well, I didn't have them in the 8 anyway, so they're gone.
I'm still in shock.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, mate.
Are you asking me about whether I'd buy or sell, Tony?
Man, what are you going to do?
I'll hold.
Right, okay.
I'd hold at the moment. Mm. I'd hold at the moment, because I think Wallace will have to go back to the halves.
Yep.
I'm thinking Wallace will go there. Maloney will then, obviously those two, they could create a pretty good combination there. Yep. They've got a young hooker who's going to get an opportunity. So I can't see anyone else there playing in that position other than Wall. So yeah, it's certainly a massive disruption, but it'll test their depth. But I think they've got enough talent across the board to still be a competitive site.
Okay, so you're holding, Hoops?
Yeah, I'm going to hold as well, Tone. I think, as we discussed earlier, Nathan Cleary just such an important part of everything that the Panthers have done over the opening couple of rounds. Helped them fight back from 14-0 down in both of those games. Really drives the side around. So, yeah, you can't understate what a devastating that blow that is for the Panthers, so I'll just hold for the time being.
Wow. Come on, surely you're selling,
aren't you? I'm selling, mate. See you later. I sold anyway, but I'm just, mate, Nathan Cleary, he's been, you know, the heart and soul of that team the last couple of years, and just his composure has been good. Mate, they're gone.
Gone, okay. Yeah, you've heard it here from Wendell Saylor. They are gone. All right, and here's somebody who's been playing terrific footy. I'm just wondering, you know, people talk about whether there are things beyond football that lead to some decisions. Now, that has been the case with Daly Cherry Evans, that conversation, why hasn't he played? Why isn't he in line for State of Origin for Queensland? His performances this season and the back end of last year were brilliant. And the 54-0 over Parramatta, he was absolutely terrific.
Yep.
Surely he is now in line for return to that maroon jersey. JT is gone. Cooper Cronk is gone. You must be buying on the stock market. DCE, State of Origin.
Yeah, I think he'll be their number six. I think they'll play Hunt 7. You know, and then I think they'll play DCE.
And Morgan on the bench.
What are you doing with Morgan and Munster?
Yeah. That's it.
That's a good point. That's how much I think about the Queensland team.
Yeah. That's so rude. So, and actually, for Panthers fans out there, yeah.
I'll come back to you. Hoops, what are you doing?
I'm buying on the basis that, look, he just looks really
composed.
He's
playing at number 8 now, is he? What's he going to do?
He just looks really
composed. On the bench?
Daly Cherry Evans. Yeah, it could be on the bench. Look, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge between here and when the Queensland side for State of Origin Game 1 is picked. But I just think if he keeps playing the way that he has started this season, then, the balance that he's brought to his game, the composure, he just looks as though he's in a really good space on and off the field, Daly Cherry Evans. And, yeah, I just think he's giving himself every possible chance to crack back into that arena.
Yeah, just so I don't embarrass myself again, like Gerds did there, and I did last week with those Tigers. Panthers aren't gone. They're thereabouts, but they're going to struggle without Cleary. But now,
I wanted
to backflip a little bit because I went hard last week.
Mate, that's a bigger backflip than Greg Louganis.
If you backflip a little bit, you land on your head.
I just want to say the Panthers will still be there, but they're not gone, but they'll still be thereabouts. But I don't think they'll make the eight. I went hard last week with the West Tigers call, so yeah. I got embarrassed. So I just wanted to check myself a little bit.
They'll be there or thereabouts, but not in the eight.
They'll finish about ninth or tenth, I think.
Okay,
but,
beautiful.
DCE, okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, DCE for me, I think his football is good enough to be in that Origin setup, but I just don't think his style sets what they got there, like Munster, Morgan, and when
is there a seven amongst Munster and Morgan though, or do you play Hunt? Does Hunt play seven?
I'd play Hunt at seven. You got Morgan
on the bench.
Yeah.
Munster.
Munster's good too. I don't know what, but all I'm saying is DCE, mate, I just think he's behind those guys. Their style of football suits what Queensland are about. I remember being in the Queensland camp for years back, and even when Cherry was in there, he's good enough to play Origin, but at the moment, they'll go with those other guys, I think, so it's unfortunate.
Okay. Yeah. You convinced you want him backflip there?
I locked it in.
All right, then. We do it every week because, it can be a different team every week. But the Warriors, they've got two wins up. Yeah. They play this afternoon, kick off around three for Raiders and the Warriors. What are we thinking, Wendell? Are you buying the Warriors season 2018?
No,
this is a good test for the Belts. He hammers the Warriors.
They're going all right at the moment. Two from two. They haven't really played anyone yet, but they're a fitter side. Alex Corvo's done a good job. For me, I'm not buying the Warriors. I'm still not buying them. I just don't trust them. Right. I don't trust them as a team. I don't trust them, their coach.
Something personal with you two?
No.
He's one of the nicest blokes in rugby league.
I love Steve Kenny. No, it's not actually Steve.
You said you don't trust the coach.
Yeah, as in, like, I don't think he can get the job done. If you have a look at his record, I don't think he can get the job done long term. Like, NRL coach wise, he's done well. If you look at Parramatta, when he's at Parramatta, I think he's a good assistant. He's doing a good job so far, but I just don't trust that team and Sean Johnson and that to go consistently well through the whole year.
It's a big season for Stephen Kearney. Yeah. If he can continue to get the Warriors to maintain this level of consistency, then he's really earned someone's trust.
And that's for me, like Steve Kearney, we saw him last year. I know it's hard the way that their culture is, but at the moment it's looking good. So
this is good because you have been sitting on the fence the past few weeks and you're jumping out. This is because I heard Hoops in an Uber talking on the phone saying, he's got a really style. Carl Stefanovic, so Wendell's really got to, step up.
Yeah, but I have to because I have to get off the fence, and that's what I said. I do like what the Warriors are doing at the moment, but at the moment I still don't trust their team. Not so much Steve Kearney, but their team.
What about you, Hoops, the Warriors?
Yeah, I'm buying the Warriors on what we've seen so far. Isaac Luke, really fit and sharp. He's thrown it back to 2014 when he was getting out of dummy half at the Bunnies, and he was arguably one of the best number nines in the competition. I love the addition of Blake Green. I just think that he gives them so much more structure and composure and allows Sean Johnson just to play eyes up what's in front of him football. I'm buying them. I think they're going well. I think they're a big chance today against the Raiders.
I'll have a nibble, Tay.
Good boy.
I'll have a nibble at the Warriors. Yeah, I really like what they're doing. The fitness for me is the key thing. And, last week they won a sort of different way against the Titans and they didn't have a lot of ball. And usually, the Warriors like to, have the football and throw it around and just totally dominate possession. But last week they didn't and they were still able to win the game. And they're a very composed side and they look happy. And I think that's really important for the Warriors. So I'm going to buy some.
Might be the meditation.
It could be. The deep breathing is working. Okay, and finally, it's going to be happening this evening, part of that doubleheader. And we're going to get to more detail on Parramatta and what's been going on with them, certainly out of last week's 54-0 drubbing. But Jarryd Hayne at fullback. Do you buy Jarryd Hayne move to fullback? Wendell Saylor.
Oh, no, I think I'd leave Jarryd in the centres. I just think I know he can do a good job there at fullback. You got Bevan French there. Gutherson will come back soon. I'm not a big fan of it.
Okay. Mm. Selling.
Yeah, I'm selling.
Hoops.
Yeah, I'm buying, Tone. I think you got to do something after you get pumped 54-0 at Brookvale. Yes, Clinton Gutherson will be back about round eight, round nine. But in the meantime, the Eels haven't won a game yet, so they've got to arrest that slide pretty quickly. And I think Jarryd Hayne playing fullback might just spark them.
No, I'm selling it, Tone. I just think if you get beat 54-0, it's not the fullback's fault. And I just think they need to, you know, stick to the plan. They had a plan going into the season. I think this is a knee-jerk reaction after what was an awful result. But to me, he's probably not going to be fit enough to play fullback. You know, he hasn't done a lot out in the centres in their two games so far. And Bevan French, he apparently had a really good off-season, has bulked up. And I think it's a bit of a slap in the face for Bevan. So I'm selling.
All right, there's your NRL stock market for this week. Just a reminder, we started off with that breaking news, courtesy of Buzz Rothfield. He tweeted that Nathan Cleary from Penrith, that injury is much worse than we had thought. Grade 3 MCL, which would see him out for 10 weeks. Of course, injury reports, thanks to Skills Certified. Get your trade qualification with the help of Skills Certified Australia. We've got an odds update from UBet's Jared Daffy. That's next. UBet, your home for NRL betting in 2018. Now head to ubet.com, or of course you can download the UBet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us right here, right now. G'day, Daff.
Hello, Tony.
Okay, the big one this afternoon. The Raiders, they're 0-2. The Warriors, 2-0. Should be a few tries, I reckon, too. But what about the prices? Do the premiership prices reflect what's happened in the first two rounds?
Well, with these two, probably, because well, the price for the Raiders is nearly double. They were 19 out of 34. And the Warriors were one of the better back sides to run last in that wooden spoon market, Tony. But they've been 51 into 21 to win the comp. At the head of proceedings, we've still got the Storm Roosters at 550 and the Cowboys at 575. Your boys,
$10.
$10? No money for them, though.
Okay. That is a bit short. If you could bump it out a bit for me, Jared, that would be good.
Well, we'll see how they go this weekend.
Okay. You have to double it. Hey, hey, what about the Raiders today? They've obviously won four of their last five against the Warriors, but the punters, you know, they'd be a little bit weary, wouldn't they?
Well, particularly after the last 2 weeks, and who would have thought the Warriors would be unbeaten? But it's actually quite a good betting game for probably those reasons. We've got money for the Warriors at 2.10, and the Raiders are $1.77. So there hasn't really been any move in the market, but the Raiders are slight favourites, but there's a bit of an air of support or confidence out there with Warriors punters.
What about they had at the double header, Jared? I'll tell you what, there's a couple of big games out there. The Eels and the Sharks, somebody has to get off the mark this season.
Well, this is quite amazing. Parramatta, I didn't think anybody would want to be on them after last week, but they've been one of the better back sides of the round, Hoops. There's not a terrible lot in it price-wise, but all of the money's with them. They're $1.85. With the Sharks, the outsiders there at $2.
Wow, are they favourites, the Eels? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
They got pumped 54.
Good luck to those punters.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, just quickly, the game this afternoon, the first one, though, there's been blowouts, I mean, over 13 plus. Is that the kind of way you're going in this afternoon?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get with these two sides, do you? So what we've noticed is a lot of punters are backing one or the other, or perhaps both, to win by 13-plus in that margin betting. They're pretty similar prices. The Raiders to win by 13-plus at 360, and the Warriors 13-plus at 350.
All right.
You remember a start to a season like this, Daff, in a long time?
No, nah, well, Gertz, there's been four of the eight favourites have won both weeks, and you just got to wonder how much longer it can go on for. But, you know, looking at, well, we saw it last night. The Bulldogs were outsiders, and the Tigers were outsiders, and, you know, controversially, they were beaten as well. So it's a tough, tough competition.
All right, Daff, lovely to talk to you. Thanks so much.
See you, guys.
UBet, your home for NRL season 2018. Download the UBet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Time now, though, for a little bit of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, three in five.
Oh, I love Tony's seasons. Yeah. I love the three in five.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 10, 11, 12. 3 and 5.
What's the embroidery on that shirt there, Tony? What does it say on this?
On the denim on denim?
Yeah.
It's just
New York fashion.
Yeah, it is. It's just a darker pattern denim. So what it is, it's denim on denim on denim, because I've got denim on denim on the shirt.
Yeah.
Like darker denim on the lighter denim, and then the normal denim on the pants. And the underpants, obviously, there's a kind of a little denim check, which I'll show you later.
Bop happening amongst all the denim when he knew that it was 3 and 5.
Yeah.
You know how to go well with that outfit, Tony? A little denim hat.
denim hat. That's a very
good
idea.
I've seen it in your wardrobe. It's fair.
But what are you doing going through my wardrobe? Look, last week, home. For some bizarre reason, we didn't get to 3 and 5 last week. And being the lazy man that I am, I'm just going to, even though it's outdated, I'm going to ask the same questions. The 3 and 5 last week, it was cannily tied to an event of the week, the news event of the week being that Peter Beattie had not been able to name the Cronulla Sutherland team were the Sharks.
Really?
So I kind of went for that as a bit
Do
of a...
Do you remember thing. That?
No,
last week?
Seems dated, doesn't it?
Doesn't.
But I am going to go down that same path right here, right now, with a few questions, a similar theme. I'm going to start with you, Hoops.
Uh-oh.
If Peter Beattie couldn't name the Sharks, I want you to go and just show how good you are. Could you give me three names that the Gold Coast have played under?
The Seagulls, the Titans, the Chargers... There's three.
There's three. If you're throwing the Giants in as well,
well played.
Absolutely brilliant. Right, Peter Beattie, of course, Wendell Saylor, and you're a Queenslander. You got to forgive him a little bit.
Obviously. A great one at that, yeah.
Yeah, he was a Queensland Premier, and a great one, as you say, and a terrific man. So, Wendell Saylor.
What's that?
Can you
up there with Sir Joe.
Don't give him too much. Yeah. Can you please name three Queensland Premiers?
Right, yeah, kidding.
Of course. Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen, Anna Bligh.
When you say yeah, of course, and then can't.
Yeah.
Is there a couple? You got a couple others up your sleeve, or
Peter Beattie.
Yep.
Yep. And there's three.
There's three. Okay.
Well played.
I'm not really big into politics, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's not my favourite thing.
I would have accepted that. Joe Bjelke-Petersen. Yeah. Brilliant
Sir
one.
Sir Joe.
Yeah. Sir Joe Campbell Newman. All right, Ryan Girdler. If Peter Beattie couldn't name the word shark, I want you to go beyond that for me, please. Can you name three types of shark?
The wobbegong, the great white, the mako, the bluefin.
That was silky.
Well,
the tiger.
Done. The tiger. The hammerhead. The hammerhead. The mako.
The hammerhead like your shiny head.
That went so bad.
The white tip started my head. What is there? No mirrors at your head.
What's up, Parramatta? How they're travelling
next? That's illegal what Wendell does, by the way. He just pops out his camera and starts filming us without written consent.
Written consent. Yeah, we'll take a break.
Turns
so we
up
can
all over the place.
We'll sort this out.
I've got the double denim out.
Gentlemen, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, I'm Tony Squires. Just want to have a quick chat with you about Parramatta. A couple of things coming out of that. The loss 54-0 at Brookvale. Now, it was extraordinary conditions. It was 39 degrees there or thereabouts when they went out to play. I was watching it at home and I had to wear an ice vest. If you're actually playing...
An ice vest?
An ice vest.
On his denim Reggies on the couch with the aircon on.
It's a good look.
And a shardy with an ice cube in it.
Ice cube in the shardy,
Can you Instagram that next time, Tony, please?
Well, I knew you were busy, so I'll just invite you all along next time. It is a great way to spend an afternoon watching the football.
Wondering when I was going to get a start at Bondi Junction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you will are, aren't you?
No. Well, I say Queen's Park. All right, so it was a tough day to play. Why were the Eels, and there's been some talk about it during the week, why were they out and about warming up in those conditions for quite some time before kickoff? Did it surprise you?
Well, Matty Johns raised it as an issue on Triple M Monday morning, and it got huge feedback as a result of it. A lot of people talking and asking that question. I don't know, Tone. Look, I mean, they had to go and play in those conditions. I asked the question, and I was told that it was actually hotter inside the dressing room than what it was outside on the field. Yeah, so I don't know whether the Manly Seagulls have air conditioning in their dressing room, in the home's dressing room, but they don't have it in the away dressing room. That could be an old trick, but a good trick. But certainly that was why the Eels decided to do that, was because it was just damn hot and they went, okay, well, we're going to have to go and play in it, so we might as well go and test it out.
Well, Adam McDougall, of course, who you mentioned earlier, had played a lot against you. He has been very big in fitness and education fitness since he's retired. He had a little say about it as well. Have a listen.
You know, warming up is just to prevent injury, and if you get it wrong, you can really, be detrimental to your performance, as you've seen from the guys on the weekend. University studies are showing that athletes who lost 1% of their hydration levels drop their performance by up to 10% with reaction times, decision-making, speed and power of muscle performance.
Well, 1% dehydration means a 10% drop in performance.
So if you're 3%
don't have the alcohol dehydrated Saturday night before you get into bed. Sorry.
So if you've got 3% dehydration...
30%, I'm saying, Dr. Maths.
It was a little strange, just the length of it. And Parramatta Manly came out probably about 15 or 20 minutes after the Eels, but Yeah, they just seem to be out there for a long period of time. And it's what they actually did when they were out there. You could see that Manly just sort of were doing some light warm-up skills, some kicking and just warming up the muscles, as Dukes was talking about. But Parramatta were doing full wrestling moves. They went through their normal warm-up. And I can only put it down to the fact that they lost that game against Penrith. They probably thought they won. So they probably had a bit of a tough week and they wanted to go through their normal routine so that there was no excuses at the end of the day. But it was obviously, what else can you put that performance down to? They got blown away early in that game and they were definitely flat. So it must have had some sort of impact.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the impact of that playing in those conditions last week will actually affect them.
Not just surprised because you know when it gets real hot, like it's just minimal. That's it. You just minimal sort of warm up. But that was ridiculous.
The other thing that's been a little bit of a talking point during the week, and I'm just interested in your take on it, is the reaction from the players after they were beaten. Now, in such a flogging, some fans were kind of peeved that they stayed on the field. The players saw a few of them laughing and smiling and talking with their opponents. I don't know, are you supposed to just drag your sorry backside back into the dressing room looking morose if you know your fans are feeling morose? Well, what do you make of it? What do you think, Hoops?
I think when you get pumped 54-0, Tone, it's a shocking look to be out there high-fiving and smiling and celebrating. Okay, sweet, no worries if your mate's with the blokes on the other team and all the rest of it. And if it's been a closely-fought game, of course, you shake hands irrespective anyway. But if it's been a closely-fought game, okay, maybe you do stand around and shoot the breeze a little bit and have a laugh. But for fans who've paid their hard-earned money to come from wherever it is and make the trip to Brookvale and watch what the Eels dished up, that leaves a rubbish taste in your mouth, and rightly so.
Oh, look, you know, the thing we want our footballers to be, you know, themselves and their personalities. And sometimes I know it's a bad look, and you're probably not thinking, oh, you know, the cameras are on me, and, you know, it might be Josh Reynolds' nose, you know, Benji in there, hey, going like that. You probably, sometimes it's a bit of embarrassment too. You're just like, you're sitting there and you're just going, you know, you're laughing and they're going, I can't believe that happened. Not
well,
so
mate,
much.
I didn't see those scenes when Billy Slater got beaten in his 300th game.
No. But not everyone's the same, Hoops. Let me speak first, mate. And sometimes you're not thinking, because I know myself, I'm that sort of guy, whether, you know, I've been pumped to like 48-6 and that against Melbourne Storm, I think it was 1999. They were just on, you know, they smashed us. And, you know, you're shaking hands and that and you're just like sort of smiling, I can't believe that happened. So sometimes you don't think about it, and you don't want to sanitize players. I know it's a bad look, players probably don't think about it, but we can't expect their players just to, you know, be robots, you know?
Yep.
I disagree, Wendell. Yeah, I'm not asking them to be robots, mate. I would never ask players to be robots. The bigger personalities are what makes the game go around. The more personalities, the better it is for the game rugby league. But when a team gets absolutely wiped off the floor and the scoreline is 54-0, if you look at the scenes when the Melbourne Storm were beaten the night before by the West Tigers, none of those players were smiling, laughing or celebrating. They were all ashen-faced and they were all happy to go and then get into the dressing room and debrief in there.
Yeah, I know, but that's a different culture, mate. So Melbourne Storm have got that culture.
Maybe that's what's wrong with Parramatta.
We did it at the Broncos too sometimes when we got beaten. Like, mate, guys like Gordy and that, they'd be disappointed, but there's blokes like me and say Steve Randolph, we'd have a bit of a smile and just sort of not laugh. It's just, I think sometimes there's so many more cameras on.
I can't see you smiling and laughing if you got beaten by that scoreline. I don't think you would have.
Not like that, but if I would have seen someone like, say, Robbie Kearns, I would have probably smiled. I said, I can't believe you guys just pumped us by 48-6. There was a pass there from Brett Camorley over the head and you're just shaking your head just going, it's just not our day. That's what I'm saying. I understand it's not a good look, but that's what I'm just saying. Some of the players don't think like that. And I've got to say, a lot of the boys, they're a lot more closer these days too. Yeah. I think, of course, the social media, a lot of the Sydney boys, they go to coffee and that. So they're so much more closer than what we were back in the day, I reckon.
We went through probably about 4 or 5 years where we got thumped, not by that every week, but quite regularly come up against these, you know, the Broncos of old, and so we couldn't wait to get off the field. It was more about, you know, and you know people, and I think you can be really respectful against, you know, opposition. You can go up and you can congratulate them, but my memories of those games are, I just want to get off and get in the sheds. I mean, you feel literally embarrassed, and you just, you know, every play is different. I understand what Wendell says, but you just... there's nothing worse than being isolated out there on the field, you know, talking to the players after you've just actually hammered you, because especially when it's Wendell and Gordy, they let you know about it. I think you can be really respectful, and I think everyone should be shake hands and you know, acknowledge the fact that you've been well beaten by the opposition and get out of there.
Yeah. I look at champion players, Tone, like Andrew Johns, Darren Lockyer, Gordon Tallis. I can never remember any of those players, if they were on the end of a scoreline, a lopsided scoreline like that, standing around and laughing and joking and shooting the breeze with opposition teams. What you say otherwise?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying we just there's so much pressure on these players. Like, we just, everything they do, we scrutinise. Now they can't like smile.
What you're saying is it doesn't mean that they don't care.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, my young bloke plays down there, and I see when they get, he's disappointed. And he's different to me, the way that he carries himself, I suppose. And I know when he's disappointed, you know, he doesn't want to go out or whatever. His dad, win, lose, or draw, he's out to be out and about, you know. Everyone's different. But I just think we put so much pressure on our players. Just let them be themselves. I know it's not a good look. And in future, they've got to think about the fans, I suppose.
All right, a couple of legends. Stirler will join us in the next hour. Plus the cool. So much ahead. Saturday NRL and Triple M.